Well, thank you, Cliff. Please help me thank Cliff for his presentation. And our next speaker is Dr. Mark David, University of Illinois, who will be talking about Illinois' nutrient reduction strategy.
All right, well, thanks very much, John. So like other states, Illinois over the last almost 2 years now has been developing its nutrient reduction strategy. We changed the name to a nutrient loss reduction strategy because there was some confusion about a lot of the stakeholders in the state. Because they viewed it as a nutrient input reduction strategy rather than sort of the output. And putting the word loss in there seemed to really help quite a bit. So I'm going to step quickly through what we did. And the actual strategy has been finished. Today's the election. They're waiting until after the election to release it. It's supposed to be released in the next week or two for a 30-day public comment, and then it'll be finalized. But this was the science part that went behind it and became the core of it. And so our task was to figure out how much, where the nutrients were coming from in the state, how much, what the loads were, then evaluate all the various methods, both agricultural and point source. We did both that could reduce those losses, how effective would they be throughout Illinois, and then estimate the costs of doing that. And so I'll go quickly. This is the total load on the left is of nitrate, if I can see the arrow, and on the right, total phosphorus, our estimate of the total amount leaving the state. And it's about 500 million pounds, and these are all in pounds because that's the units we needed to use for this kind of document. 500 million pounds of nitrate and about 40 million pounds of total P. Of course, it varies greatly year to year because of rainfall and runoff, and so you can see there's not really a trend in nitrate. There's maybe a trend, as there is in much of the upper Mississippi Basin, of increasing phosphorus. The purple line here, right here, is the last 14 years or 15-year average that we had. We've done this from 1980 to 2011, and then red is where we would have to get to, the 45% reduction. And you can see we, for total P, only in the drought year of 1988 did we meet that. And it's a substantial task to reduce these massive loads leaving the state to that red line. This is the major rivers in the state. Of course, Illinois is dominated by the Illinois River. And you can see, this is again nitrate and total P, more recent. And you can see that Illinois River is a large percentage of the total total load. And you can see some of the other major river systems. These rivers add up to about 75% of the drainage, and then we expanded it from there. But it also includes the breakout of point source versus agricultural. And as might expect, nitrate is primarily agricultural sources. Total P, we're one of the more populous states at 13 million people, and 8 million of them in the Chicago area, all feeding into the Illinois River. And so the Illinois River for phosphorus is actually mostly point source, and it's about half and half for the entire state. And so that was an analysis that we did using a variety of data sources to be able to break these out. And so we also did some calculations on urban runoff because that always comes up. And so for nitrate, it was roughly 80% agricultural, 2% point source, or 18% point source and 2% urban. And then the phosphorus is sort of the 50-50 split with again, some of it from urban runoff. Just to point out, we are one of the major contributors. This was our estimate of for the entire Mississippi Basin, what those percentages are, and you can see we average about 20% of the nitrate reaching the Gulf and about 11% of the total phosphorus. And that nitrate, I'm sure we have some people here from Iowa, we alternate with Iowa each year, depending on where it rains more, whether they're number one or we're number one. But certainly, we're right up there each year. And you can see some years it's as much as 30%, and other, obviously, drier years for us, it may only be as little as 10%. But clearly, what Illinois, Iowa, some of the major states in the Corn Belt do, and Cliff's presentation just pointed that out, is what we are the major sources. We also then went to the HUC 8 level, and there's about 50 of those in the state, and used the water quality data, USGS flow monitoring, to calculate both the total yield, the pounds per acre per year, that's what these scales are here for nitrate, for each of these HUC 8s, and then broke that into point source on the left and non-point source on the right. And so clearly, you can see the Chicago area on the point source side, and then for the non-point source, it's really the upper two-thirds of Illinois, because that's the tile drained region, and that's where the nitrate comes from. Southern Illinois has much lower nitrate losses on a pound per acre basis. And so this helps us then to identify where in the state is nitrate coming from more specifically, and then we can overlay the different agricultural practices on top of that. We also did this for phosphorus. The only difference for phosphorus on the point source side is the Sangamon River watershed and below Decatur, and that's because of the agricultural wastewater that comes from ADM, one of the larger grain processors in the world, and they don't do any pretreatment, and that makes for some pretty high phosphorus in their effluent from the sewage treatment plant. For non-point source, it's pretty diffuse, but it's a combination of tile, but also a lot of surface runoff, and so it becomes the west side of Illinois, which is a little steeper, and southern Illinois, and then northern Illinois has much lower source amounts. Again, I didn't point out on the previous one, but the pounds per acre, when we're talking about nitrogen, of course, it's up in the 10, 20, 30 range. But phosphorus is a very small amount, and that's part of the challenge agriculturally of trying to reduce it when it's only a half a pound or something per acre. It's very difficult then to reduce that. So, of course, and Cliff mentioned some of this, what practices can we look at? Well, we can look at nutrient use efficiency, infield management, or off-site measures, and we looked at all of these. So we looked at things like using cover crops, of course, wood chip bioreactors that are, I wouldn't say common, but receiving a lot of study. There'll be a whole session in this room. I'm putting a plug in for that after this session, talking about bioreactors. They can be effective at times. Wetlands, constructed wetlands that I've worked on can work. And so this is a complicated figure. It's borrowed a little bit from the Iowa strategy, but what this shows is that what we did is look at the major practices that we thought would work in Illinois and said if we could apply them fully, how much would they reduce the nitrate load? And so, for example, these are in-field practices in purple here. And so if we went with we have a lot of fall nitrogen. If we went completely, got rid of all the fall nitrogen and went to spring on the tile-drained corn acres, we estimated that per acre, that would vary between 15 and a 20% reduction in the pounds per acre loss, reduce that loss by 15 to 20%. If you did that as fully as you could, it would be a 26 million pound reduction overall. That's the amount we need to reduce up there, or that's the baseline. That would be a 6% decrease, and then we could calculate also the cost per pound. That was $3.17. We did that for each of these in-field ones. So, for example, the cover crops is one of the larger ones, and that's a 20% reduction, but that's cover crops on all tile-drained acres, so that's about 9.5 million acres of cover crops. The last one here is cover crops on all non-tiled acres, so that's even more acres, but you can see it's much less effective because there's not as much nitrate loss to start with. So you can't reduce something that's not there. And so that, even if you put that on the extra 15 million acres or 12 million, yeah, I guess that's about 12 million acres, that's only about an 8% reduction. The cost is much higher per pound because there's just not that much to remove. So none of these, what you'll see here is none of these add up to 45%. We also looked then at the edge of field. So we sort of just picked. There's no real basis for this other than that seems reasonable to see what would work. Bioreactors on half of the tile-drained land, 40% reduction per acre. That would be 56 million pounds, so about 14% reduction overall. It's very cheap, though, at $1.38 a pound. There's a large upfront cost, but per pound it worked. Wetlands, we just said 25%. There is a buffer here. Buffers really don't work very well on tile-drained land, but there is some water that will seep through them, and we did include that because that's an important one for phosphorus. And then we also looked at land use change, perennial crops, very large percent reduction per acre, 90%, but we didn't think that would be applied on very many acres, so we made some estimates. We're talking about maybe 1 million acres of those in these estimates. And so they don't add up to a very large overall background. And then the last one were point source reductions. And again, because point sources aren't a large part of the source, they didn't add up to that much. So there's two things from here. One, these are not additive. And so that when you start to put these together, you have to take into account if you reduce the nitrate coming off the field with it, and then the edge of field bioreactor then has less to process, and so you can't double count essentially. And not, you can see getting to 45% here is not simple. There is no one practice, and it's going to take a lot to get up to that. We did the same thing for phosphorus, but there were some different practices. One of the two major ones are we still have a lot of land that erodes at a fairly high rate, and reducing that amount by less tillage would be a fairly effective way, maybe a 5% reduction there, and a negative cost because it's less tillage. We also looked at soil test P levels throughout the state, and there's a lot of the state that doesn't need P fertilizer, not forever, but certainly for a few rotations, and that's a negative cost as well. So those two things could be very large, and of course cover crops, and some of these practices double count for both nitrogen and phosphorus, and so cover crops on all acres, you know, 12% reduction. Wetlands, we didn't give any credit for phosphorus. Buffers, this would be putting buffers on all land, riparian buffers that don't have buffers right now, so it's about half the stream miles, agricultural stream miles in the state, and that's a fairly large one at 13%. The perennials, again, pretty small. And then in Illinois, of course, a point source reduction to 1 milligram per liter is actually fairly large. That alone would be a 22% reduction. And the cost per pound are of course, much higher because you're talking about many much smaller amounts. So then we put these all together into these scenarios. And I won't really go through these, but there's to get to the 45%, essentially you need to put most of the major practices on every acre. You almost need to do something on every acre to make this work. And the costs, very similar to the Iowa costs, are about $800 million a year. These are annualized costs over 20 years. So we're talking about many billions of dollars here because some of these have steep upfront costs. One of the things I left on this is the first strategy here only gets us to 35% nitrogen, but I did that because I wanted to point out that getting that next 10% is $500 million. It's a huge amount because we've used up all the cheap practices. And we've used up we get the negative balance, the P ones save us money. We also have looked at 20% reductions just to see how much those would cost. Clearly, you don't have to do as much, and the annualized costs are much lower. So the take home from this, just like many of the other two strategies are that have been completed that in a similar way, I would say, is it takes a lot. And it's going to cost a lot over many years to do this. There are ways to do it, but and I think sometimes people in Washington don't want to hear that there's just not one practice. It's not just over-fertilization or something like that. It's much more complex than that. So, as I said, the initial focus here, I sort of already went through those conclusions, but clearly, the way it's sort of been laid out in the state is, well, the point source P reductions would be one way to go because that's a clear path, and then nitrate from agricultural reductions. And the strategy that we developed is the plan is to get that's going to get us started. So that's a very quick way path of what we've done, but our presentation. But hopefully, you got a sense of what it would take. So.